Next item on our agenda is the sick leave issue that we've talked about a little bit already. And does anybody want to start that?
Well, Don had sent us out a spreadsheet that had your hire date, pay rate, current sick hours, and then what I did is created some formulas in there that says what's 100% cash value, what's 50% cash value. I think 40% cash value was brought up in one of our discussions, and 25% was brought up in one of the discussions. So I have, at least I know what the liability is. And of course, the liability differs because we had talked, just for those listening, we had talked about a 10-year. If once a person hit 10 years, there would be, in their retiring, leaving Taney County as an employer, there was a suggestion. I think Pettis County does 25% of your accrued sick time, 25% cash value. Dan, you had mentioned 20%. Of course, I didn't say anything on purpose. 15-year was 40% by Pettis, and you were fine with 40%. 20 years, Danny left it at 40%, and Chuck went to 50% because that's what Pettis County had. So that's the scenarios that we have that we had talked about last meeting, which was Monday, wasn't it, I think? May have been Monday. So I will...
Your costs there, you say you got that right?
Well, I don't have it broke down by 15, 20, and 25. I apologize. It appears that... Let's put it this way. It would not... If 100% of everybody, of all the employees retired, and they were all had 20 years of service, which is the biggest payout, the liability to the county would be just right at $200,000. We know that's not accurate because we have employees that have only been here a year and 2 and 5 years. So I'm still trying to get what the 15-year liability would be, and that'll be happening in just a few minutes. I guess probably one of the issues that has been brought up to my attention is we have to be sensitive to how we incent people, bonuses. You know, it's obviously we cannot do a bonus, obviously. And one comment that was brought to my attention, not by our attorney, which was, thank goodness, which was what happens if we know of someone who's going to retire, they've already given their notice, and now we create this policy. Would this be viewed as a bonus? Because we're creating a policy to meet a timeline that's been established because they're already leaving. And there's a liability issue there if it's a bonus, obviously, to the county. And so that's really one thing that's what I sprung on Bob in the hallway, and he's, of course, said, Jim, I can't give you just a position in 2 minutes or less. That's my only concern about doing something like this. I have no problem with the concept of supporting, rewarding people as they retire, giving them some sort of incentive because of their tenure work and them having some sick time and all that. I really don't have a problem with the concept. My problem now is it a bonus or is it not a bonus? Because we have timelines.
As you're just now speaking, the thought pops into my mind, who have we had retire lately that I'm not thinking about?
Well, there's two that brought up last week, last time.
You know, no, I mean prior.
Richard, pretty recently, but that's within the last 6 months, right?
Richard Hazel. John Lavender. I don't know. I'm going off.
Richard was a year ago, nearly.
I don't know what we're going to say or where we're going to go, but we should probably try to avoid names, too.
Okay. Well, I think you said it first.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yes. Well, we brought this up, and it's probably been a year ago. I don't know how long ago it's been, but we talked about shared leave, and
we have.
And we talked about this at the same time. That's been not too long back. So it's not like we just sprung it all at once, is my point I'm trying to make. Well, I'm going to suggest, or I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we follow 25% on a 10-year, 40% on a 15, and 50% on a 20-year or more retirement of sick hours that have not been used by an employee retiring.
Okay.
Any comments or questions on that, or a second, or
you may get a second. I'm just.
Okay.
I just want to comment. As you guys know, I feel like that we need to deal with our sick leave policy some, and I feel like those people that don't abuse it should be rewarded more and stuff like that. I'm kind of for this, but I really need to know now from auditor standpoint, what is your goal in doing this? Because, I mean, I've been hearing that we want to do this because we want people to, we want to encourage some people to retire that are close to retirement, and that's the case. If we don't replace, or we replace with lower wages, it is an advantage to the county too. And so from a financial standpoint, is that what we're trying to accomplish, I guess, is my question.
Well, I made a motion. My thought is not necessarily at all to encourage people to retire. I want them to retire when they're ready. One thought I have, and it's been talked about plenty, is it's an encouragement to those that don't understand how sick time is supposed to work, in my opinion, that there's an advantage to them to treat sick time for what it is. Now, and it's been talked about, we may go to the PTO thing, and is that right?
Yeah, that's
something. So this may get changed. But I'm not trying, my thought is not to try to encourage people to retire. There is an advantage. We've talked about that possibly in some cases where a long-term employee that's up in the pay scale retires and you replace them with somebody that's not at that pay scale. So there could be some advantage, but that's not my motive. I may get in trouble on the next one, but I think it's a way to say thank you to the employee that's put their heart to work in here and served the public well and has not abused the things out there. So that's where I'm coming from.
So I'm hearing the main reason for wanting to do this is as an incentive to those people that are good employees that don't abuse sick time and stuff like that. That's what I'm hearing right there, and I don't know if the others are in agreement. If that's the case, my stand, and I'm, you know, people call me cheap, but I think frugal is a better word. You know, 25% would be the maximum I could support. I feel like that this is sick time is not an earned thing, and I think the people that have that recognize that. And so when we start paying them more than 25%, it's more than an incentive to me. So okay. That's my opinion. I want to express that for you guys. So
can I put words in your mouth? You would support 25%?
I can support. That would be the maximum I could support.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Okay. Other comments? Mr. Preston, oh, you scare me when you get up. You never know what you're going to say.
Just an opinion, both personal and in my position, having been in public service for 30 years, it's not uncommon for 50% nationwide, and I have studied this as probably two or so months ago. I spent some considerable time looking at sick leave and what other people in counties, cities, and government agencies are doing, and I believe, in my opinion, 50% is a better number. Thank you.
Okay, on the 20 years, you mean? Or
On the 20 years. I personally spent 20 years working for one particular city, had 1,900 hours of sick leave at the end of that 20-year tenure and was paid 50% at that point in time.
On the 1,900 hours?
50% of that.
Okay. Maggie, comment?
Yeah.
I'm Maggie, and I completely agree with Frank Preston. I think that it should be paid out at 20 years at 50%. If you look at people who have been working for the county for 20 years and have been dedicated to them, that is a good way of saying thank you, and they're not abusing their sick time. That is also a reference that you can look at. I would support the 50% at 20 years.
Okay. And for those listening that aren't aware, we have limited 480 hours, correct?
Correct.
Rick, is the most that we will allow accumulated sick leave. Much different from what Frank's situation was.
I haven't heard from the East yet. I was wondering if the East had some comments.
I think I pretty well gave my comments the other day on where I thought it should, the range should be. And I have great respect for all the employees of Taney County, but I don't think they're any different than other employees that work in other jobs in Taney County, and everybody has a different policy, and some have no policy. If you retire, you don't get nothing as far as what your sick leave is. But I have nothing. I've always said that the person that shows up every day is more knowledgeable about what's going on a daily basis, and they're not taking advantage of the system. And we all know that we're under rules and regulations on bonuses, but that we can't do that. And but I still would like to see some form of sick leave pay returned. But I don't want people to think at that point that it's earned, that it's not it's something that they deserve because they work at Taney County. I don't want that impression to be left there. I think this we're trying to help and reward those that spend all their time, you know, trying to come to work whenever they don't feel good or don't have any other excuse to come to work. I know some people have used examples, but I know my wife went to work when she was no physical way that she should have been there, and she was sent home a time or two because she shouldn't have been on the job site. She worked 27 years. But anyway, you know where my percentages lie.
Refresh me, Danny. You had 40% on.
He's 20 and 40. 20 at 10
years. I just cut all the
20% at 10 years and 40 at 15 or more.
Correct. That's what he had said. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Other comments?
I don't think it. One thing I would like to say is I don't think it hurts the budget. It's something we as commissioners have to be real conscious of, and I don't think it hurts the general public's idea of what we're trying to do. With it's hard to keep from saying rewarding the person, but I mean that's what it. What's a better terminology, Bob, to use?
One thing I would like to point out is it wouldn't hurt the budget if we don't rehire.
I mean, if we take this time to evaluate each position as they retire and just don't automatically say we're going to rehire a position, because at a certain point, if we don't at least say we're going to be cautious about rehiring or say that we have a hiring freeze, then if we don't do that, then this will hurt the budget. Okay, but otherwise, it won't hurt the budget.
Yeah. But, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with every statement that we come out whenever we say if somebody leaves, that we hire somebody back in the same position, you lose a lot. I mean, people don't work at places for the experience they gain is the reason that they get paid the extra dollars. And I don't particularly agree that we would function as well. I don't believe that that a person that's been here for 25 years or 20 years and knows where we've come from and the experience that they have in certain fields, that should be honored. And just because you replace them with a $10 an hour person, you could be losing $20 worth of effort.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Rick?
I agree with what you guys said, but you need to be careful from the perspective of the public plus as the perspective of your employees. I know you guys recognize that we are in a budget crunch, and I don't see that changing next year. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I'm not seeing that the economy's turning around, which means that we're going to be looking to cut when it comes budget time. And so if we're not seeing this as what Mr. Strafis had said there, a way that we actually are not hurting the budget, maybe helping the budget, if we don't see it as that type of a tool, you're going to have the argument, a valid argument, that we shouldn't be doing it because, I mean, you know, we're going to be hurting more people down the road. But if we can show it, and I think there's justification for doing it that way, if we can actually cut our staff or cut the cost of our staff because of this, and then we can justify it, and I don't have a problem with it. But you need to be careful. It needs to be a budget consideration, I think.
Okay. Frank?
Last payroll for Road and Bridge, I authorized by my signature the use of 254 or 256 hours of sick leave in a two-week period. I would hope that with a program like this, it would minimize those numbers on a regular basis. So to me, when we're paying out that kind of money on a regular basis, not making any accusations towards anyone, but that's a lot of sick leave use.
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
Please.
I agree with you, Frank. My understanding is that this is a one-time thing. That's what I've understood, and you guys probably need to clarify that too. Is it, you know, because if it's going to be a one-time thing, that may or may not help your cause in that thing there. So, be you that would help too. If we go to PTO,
it's taken care of. I'd like to see how it works. I'd like to call it a one-time thing until we see how it works. I mean, there may be such things we say, hey,
I don't know how we can do a one-time thing, because then it would be look like we're giving bonuses to two employees. It would have to be a policy that we put in place, and it's in place. Otherwise, it would look like a specific incentive program for a specific employee.
Well,
it would be.
My thought is, come on up, Lee. My thought is that I'm not looking at it as a one-time thing, but if, to Rick's point, if we find we're in a spot, that's one place that we'd have to look at in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be necessarily just one or two. It could be up to five or six or something, is my understanding. Lee?
The name's Lee Griffith. I've had 17 years in with the county. I've enjoyed working here. I wasn't going to say a thing today, but I need to express. I don't remember exactly how many hours that was taken of sick time and lost several years ago. I'm a believer if you're sick, you stay home. There have been many days, there again, I'm just one person, that I've come to work, that I know I should have stayed home. In fact, some days that the sheriff has sent me home. But I've seen the sick time abused so much from other employees that it's not right. It's not right for some of the people that have come in where they felt good, bad, otherwise, and work, and others just because maybe they want to go fishing or something. And I'm almost 68 years old, and I would love to retire. But other issues is not going to allow me to. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Just so some data, I got one more number to come up. We have 20 employees that are have been with the county at least 20 years or more. We have 31 employees that have been with the county for 15 years or more. And I don't have a 10-year number yet. I'm working on that.
Well, Jim, I can't agree with you totally on the, and I know we've got an attorney sitting here, and I don't agree with him about three-fourths of the time. But the thing of it is the balance of trying to reward, just like he said, the people that come and work and the ones that abuse, that's something that's going to be that's going to be hard for us to separate. And another thing is, what if we enter this into a policy without a yearly test on it, what if things turn downhill and we have a situation where we can't pay it?
You can cut benefits anytime you want. You can do away at the end of the year, the next budget year. I mean, if you couldn't afford it, you could do away with, God forbid that you do this, but health benefits, you could do away with all kinds of benefits. You're not required to give these benefits. These are benefits that you give, and I'm very glad that you give them. So you could change your policy. I think all that Mr. Straff has said was that you can't just offer it one time as certain people are retiring and not continue that policy. But yeah, there's nothing to say you can't change your benefits policy.
My point is, I know four more people are going to retire later on this year. So are we saying no to them? Because if we start saying yes, the policy is enacted today and then it's off tomorrow, but then they're going to retire, so then it's on again. All of a sudden, we've done this bonus structure, and I know we can't do that.
Well, I know, but if we set a date today that we're going to go 1 year from today, then what are you saying for that we're saying a bonus? I don't understand that.
We have to create a policy, and it's just out there. And so when an employee, their 20th year or whatever, however, whatever comes up, whatever that 20th year, they say, I'm going to retire now because I know the policy is in place. We can't just say there's no policy. It just has to be, it has to be fair to every employee, and it can't be just a few employees that we know that are retiring. We want to help them. You know, the challenge would be is that we create a policy and we have 50 people come up and say, okay, I'm out. Then that's when we have a tough decision. But we just can't say we're going to allow it today, you know, or the next 5 days, and then we can't just turn it on and turn it off like that.
Well, the only thing then that you really raise a tough issue is because you'd have to go with some kind of policy like the state has or like the Teachers Association, where you got a 25 and out or so many years and out situation, and they can't draw their retirement till they reach a certain age anyway. What I'm saying is you set a date as of noon on such and such a date for 1 year to be reexamined a year from that date.
Okay, that's a little different. I mean, that, if you say this policy, your motion is to do this and it sunsets on this date, that's a little different. Bob, it might be a little different, Bob. I mean,
I haven't researched these issues. You're just bringing them up, and I've got to research.
I didn't speak it, but my thought was, in my motion was, it's a policy, period.
Right.
And I wasn't thinking Well, I was thinking about a time frame, and that happens every year, budget crunch or not budget crunch. Right. We have to look at what our what we believe our revenues are going to be and what our costs are going to be. And come September, October this year, if we see that we're in trouble, then it's going to be one of all the different things we have to look at. But my idea is this is a policy that we're going to carry on as long as we can financially pay the bill.
Well, I think it's not a, I mean, it's not a bad to have it forever because that does, that at least we have an avenue to do that. That's 15.
It's still 15 years, but it does give the ages and those that's going to be able to retire with farmers and service.
Gotcha.
I think ideally, as policy is the best way to do it. But if you if you're going to say you probably are going to evaluate it every year when you do the budget, and the, probably, you know, you're going to approve that around January 1, you're going to have to evaluate it then to see if you can really fund it.
But again, we're going to evaluate everything, Rick. Right.
Right.
That's, I mean, we look at everything in the budget each year.
Every policy is reviewed,
so it's no different from anything else. Yeah, at my point.
Okay. Then you enter into a large company policy that says that I can, times are difficult, so I'm going to stop this policy that we're doing, and the old boy that's 2 weeks or a month from an appointment, he says, you know, I'm going to file a lawsuit against them dirty devils. They've cut me out. Of course, that's already been tested, you know, but that's what his thought process is going to be, is, hey, I missed this by 2 weeks, or because I thought they were going to continue whenever they approved the budget.
Again, I know nothing without researching, but you may vest during that period of time and the hours that you've earned, and you may not be able to say no to somebody for the hours they earned during the period that you have the policy in place. I'm not saying that's a fact. I'm just saying that needs to be at least looked at.
Maggie?
I think that because there's still some unconcern and Bob has not had a chance to take a look at the law and et cetera, I think that maybe we should table this to get further information and input. And the reason why I'm stating this, as an employee of the county, do you know how frustrating it is to thinking that you do have this policy? Next week you're going to take the policy back away. We did this with sick time before. I've been here with the county almost 20 years. One time the sick time that you can accumulate was 240, then it went to 480. Those who had more than 240, I happened to have been one of them, Lee happened to have been another one, and several of ours, I have all of those paperwork, we lost those hours. We gave those hours back to the county. It's not that we didn't appreciate it. We do appreciate everything that the commission has given us as far as benefits. But one of the worst things that you can do is to give us something, thinking that we're going to have it. I mean, maybe I don't want to retire this year, but I want to retire next year. So you're going to take a look at the budget next year, and you're going to see this list of possible people who are going to retire, and let's say there's 15 on that list. Well, budget can't afford the 15, so now you're going to take the policy back away from us. I think before you initiate a policy, let's look into it a little bit deeper. Give Bob time to look at the law, bonuses, or whatever you want to call it, before you give something to an employee and then turn around 2 weeks later and take it back away, which happened with comp time. Shared, I believe it was called shared comp time. It went into effect, and what, 2 weeks after that, it was taken back where you couldn't donate your comp time to someone? You could if you do a check, if you can recall what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we in a hurry today to make a decision?
No, we're not. Can I reply to that? No, we're not in a hurry. It's just been, this has been a topic of discussion for
8 months.
Long period of time.
Eight months.
And so try to find some resolve in the situation is, I guess, the reason it was put on the agenda to discuss. So I... that's the only reason I'm putting in my 2 cents worth. and I'm just, I guess it's unfair just to ask you, but because there's 300 employees or so, but what do you think about a 1 year from the date that people have time to make up their mind? They know from 12 o'clock today, from 1 year to the date, that they better be making up their mind on what they want to do.
I don't think that there should be a time limit on it. I personally don't.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, is that you're taking into consideration giving something to an employee for 1 year. Next year, and I know, working with the budget, that you're going to turn around and look at the budget. This, again, is going to be it. So these figures, of which Dawn just gave you, you're going to find out that there's a possibility, hypothetically, of 20 people retiring. You look at the amount of sick time. Is the budget going to handle it? You're going to say no, and those people then who are fixing to retire in 2011 won't have it available. This is what I'm saying, that there's something that you're giving to employees and then turning around and taking the possibility of taking that benefit back away from the employees.
I think another way of saying it is you shouldn't give a benefit if you don't think that you can maintain that benefit.
Correct. Thank you, Bob.
Well, then I think that we don't need a discussion anymore until we decide what we're going to do. If he's going to have to research it and come up with all the legalities of it, I don't know that we've got a discussion.
Well, if you suggest a plan that you may want to do and have it checked out by someone that does this all the time or have me research it, you know, they may have some tweaking to do on your policy. I'm just telling you that when you guys come up with something that you think you want to do and you ask me whether, you know, on the spot whether it's legal or not, I just can't tell you.
How about we table this discussion until Friday?
Okay.
At 8:30, we're going to be calling in anyway for the agenda review for the Tuesday. That may give Bob some time to at least get some high level discussions on it, and just to get some direction. I mean, I don't want to put pressure on Bob of 2 days, but it's better than 20 minutes.
What is the policy that I should be looking at? I mean, what are the issues?
Well,
I mean,
currently, right now, obviously, sick leave has no cash value, and we are looking for. If I say it wrong, guys, you just chime in here. It looks like we're trying to have an incentive retirement program. We're trying to do two things. When a person retires, we incent them based off of their healthy lifestyle, or however you want to put it, to give them a reward in a cash value for unused sick time based off of tenure. So the discussions have been 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years of service, and then based off of that, reward them for not taking sick time when they were an employee and giving us tenure as an employee.
Okay. And I'm not saying it's not. I mean, it may very well be legal. Obviously, other places do it. But 10 years, different percentage. 15 years, different percentage.
Correct.
And 20 years, different percentage.
They're close on the 10. On the 10-year, Danny's at 20%, Chuck's at 25. On the 15-year, they're both at 40. They agree. Danny doesn't believe it should go to 50% at 20 years. And Chuck's example of Pettis County is 50% at 20 years. No one's proposal pays more than 50%.
Okay. And but it's different percentages after those years, and anybody that retires after 8 years doesn't get anything?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll second that motion to table. Any more discussion for now? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Motion carries. Good discussion. Appreciate everybody's input. Next on our agenda is
Air Park Final Plat.
The Air Park Final Plat, and we got Tammy and two PNZ members. And Tammy, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
Sorry to keep you waiting there.
No, that's okay. There's copies. My name's Tammy Warner. I'm sure y'all know we're doing the Air Park development down in Cedar Creek. I've not met either of the other commissioners, so hello. First of all, on your packet, we have been charged with selling some lots without a final plat. And I know I'm perceived as being obstructive or noncompliant or whatever, so your first two pages, just for the record, my book that I was given when we moved down here, on those pages that I gave you was missing a section, and that section was about not selling lots without a final plat. So I just want the record to show that we did not sell property just because we felt we were going to do it regardless of Taney County rules. So you have that copy. Once we were charged, I still couldn't understand where it was coming from until the new policy book came out. And when that came out, it was pretty clear in there about how you cannot sell property without having the final plat. So I took the new policy and went line by line with this one, and that's when we discovered that there's A or something missing, which I'm going to assume is a section about the final plats. So that's how it was discovered. I think it was about in October is when we were going over it to see why there's so much, why I'm having such a hard time down here, and that's when it was discovered. So once that we found that, I did take it to Eddie's office, and I believe Bob Paulson was there with him, and I told him, this is what the lawyer found. I'm obviously out of compliance. We've done nothing but jump through hoops. Tell me what you want me to do. We're trying to fix this. Last October, we gave a final plat to Eddie. We've been working on it with his changes for November, December. We submitted it January with the project. It was resubmitted. So we thought the final plat's ready. We can get it recorded once the project's approved. Well, we got the project approved, and then a stipulation was added that we could not file the final plat until our road was finished in the minor sub. Now, the road was fully bonded, so I didn't understand that, but we complied with it. The road's been finished for about 2 months, and we're still going through changes on the final plat. I will put whatever you want on the final plat. It's just my concern. Well, actually, my issue is I get a letter every month with something new. Whatever needs to be done on this plat needs to be on the plat, because every time I hit the surveyor for a new plat, it's another $1,000 minimum added to my bill. First of all, that's the one issue. But more than that, I'm not able to get this plat recorded, which means I can't bring lots into compliance, which means I can't sell lots, and it means the people who do have the lots that owned in there, they can't build on it. So I'm like, I can't move. We have a contract on our personal house, which is in this development, on 13 acres for $235,000. We've had that contract since January. It expires on Tuesday. If I don't have a final plat, what I'm told is I can't sell my own property because it's part of the final plat. So I've went through, you know, I've done everything I can. I get letters late after they're written, like a week or two. They're going to 2-3 different addresses. So I'm just at a loss. My main thing I'm here is I've got a house contract that expires, and I need to, hopefully you have some solution or option to where I'm allowed to sell my own house as we're doing more changes, because I dropped the new plats off Friday. Eddie called me back this morning. He hasn't had time to look at them. He'd been out the property. I wish he would stop in and talk about changes instead of waiting 2 weeks to get another letter. It's just, this is months and months of delays, and I just don't think it's fair. Now, part of that, the owners that are in the development, they're getting ready to file a class action lawsuit against planning and zoning, because they all have copies of these and all of the copies from last year that are showing delay, 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 and their property value. If I go under, their property values are gone. And so I have two issues. One is my house. Is there a solution that I can sell my own house? If I need to make phase one with my house only, you know, I've asked Eddie about that. Now he's talking about an amended plat. An amended plat's going to require to go back through the Planning Commission, so there's another couple months' delays. So I'm just looking for some kind of help before I have to go to the next level and just give up, because I've done everything I can. But every time I make a change, we resubmit. Here's two more changes, or here's this. Now, the only issue that is pending are the owner's signatures, and I've got all those in that are on these final plats, and they're ready to be recorded.
Well, do you have, does your home that you're trying to sell with 13 acres, does it lay on the outskirts of the other thing, or is it right in the middle?
It's right in the middle.
See, that's probably where the problem lies. If it was on the outskirts, it would be a different situation.
Eddie, do you want to make a comment? Or?
General, I could spend several hours trying to get your feet on this.
Please don't. I've got a 1 o'clock.
It's lot 8 on there. It's our house.
Lot 8.
I keep getting new flats that keep creating new issues. I did speak with Tim in the assessor's office a little bit ago, and does mapping, and I also, I believe, spoke yesterday with Mr. Dixon, because the three of us had a meeting because we had some concerns about the replatting that was going to go on, and there have been lots changed in size, and now the legal descriptions are no longer any good. There was references made to a previous unrecorded plat for legal descriptions, things like that. And as we sat with her in one of these departments, the three of us talked and decided probably that, you know, the best thing to happen here was, you know, that to make sure that everybody ended up with their property correctly, was that we needed a replat of the minor subdivision with the addition of some other lands on that. And there's a long history on this, guys, and until you can hear it all, it's kind of a Mr. Paulson's aware of it.
I would just as soon hear it all so that we're all on the same page, because...
But anyway, so I was expecting a replat of the minor sub with some additional things to come in. Also, there's some rules with the decision of record to be complied with and some different things like that. But anyway, what I got was two different plats. One is a amended plat for the minor subdivision, and then the house that she has on there was lot 6 of this minor sub, which takes in several hundred acres, I think, or 100 some odd acres. It's a large tract. And then and now she's wanting to split that again, which brings its, you know, some issues in, because we're adding some lots and things like that. But it's okay, because our board knows what she's trying to do there and everything. But the meeting we had, I was supposed to get one plat. It's a replat of minor sub lot 6, lot 2, 3, and 6, I believe, plus some additions and everything. Also, we'd had the discussion about the need for the infrastructure to be in. Now, I did make a mistake, and I will tell you this. On the original platting of the minor sub, I was under the impression that the electrical did run across the back of the lots there, and it's all the poles and some transmission lines there. But after I did the research with White River Electric, there has not been anything other than the transmission lines done on that place since 1963.
On the north side?
On that property since 1963. So one of the provisions that our board stated, as they reheard the project, they wanted the minor sub to be totally completed and finished. It's an additional restriction they put on in their decision of record. They wanted that completed and done. She did bond the road. We did go ahead and do the plat. She finished up the road. We wouldn't allow the second phase of that to start until that was completed, because there had been a lot of issues, and that was a deal made by several attorneys to try and get this project back into compliance. One of the other stipulations was that the infrastructure for additional phases will include roads and electrical for areas with tracts 2 acres or above, and electrical and sewer and for areas less than 2 acres. No electrical has been put in at this juncture. Yes, sir.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Why did you, if there was a stipulation on the minor sub, did you agree to that?
I was in the audience, and it was brought up by Eddie to the commission that I not be allowed to move forward until that road is completed. Now, I didn't understand that. The attorney doesn't understand. If the road's fully bonded, why couldn't I move forward? Why did the work order stay in place? So I had no choice but to accept it, because I...
But, I mean, the minor sub, which would be 6 lots, right?
Correct.
That is correct.
Okay. Did you comply with what the planning and zoning wanted at that point?
Yes. We finished that 2 months ago.
Okay.
It is finished, yes.
And that's finished. Yes. All right. But this home that you're wanting to sell doesn't lie within that minor sub?
Yes, sir, it does.
It lies in the minor sub on 190 acres. It was the parent parcel of the minor sub.
Okay. Then why can't you sell it if it's in the minor sub and the road is bonded?
No, the road is finished. There's an easement to the 13 acres.
Okay, but then you've released the bond back to her?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the road's in. You've got a minor sub with a hundred. Doesn't make any difference on the acreage on it, but it says on 130?
I don't know exactly.
It's 100, okay.
But it's a large.
But then you've got project. Then you've got the other five lots that all complete the minor sub.
That's right.
That's phase one or two or three,
correct.
Whatever you got
one.
Named. Okay. Why can't you sell it?
I'm trying.
She wants to split that big lot six into several more lots.
No, that's not true. I'm trying. I have on the minor sub. My house is on a tract that is a total of 204 acres because we only have the five lots.
That's what I show right here on this minor sub
right.
number one.
Correct.
Okay, I'm following along.
Okay, now I don't want to sell my 209 acres to these folks. All they want is 13 acres. So I want to only sell them the house, the
so
barns,
you want to divide the minor
acres.
Sub one, that lot, that parcel, you want to break,
just
change it.
Just break it off, that's it. Just like it is on the final plat. Now, on the final plat, it takes that other 200 acres or the remaining and makes more lots, but that's the final plat.
Okay, can you pause right there? Eddie, what is the process? Okay, so help me. I mean, I've heard bits and pieces of this over the months. The road that accesses this minor sub is in.
That's
correct?
That is correct.
And it goes all the way out to...
Tract 8.
Gotcha.
It goes back all the way back out to Brass Lantern Road.
Okay, so that's in. Are all the other roads in?
No, sir.
Okay. So what is the process to subdivide? So I guess it would be tract number 6 is on the front page. Tract number 6 shows
correct.
204 acres. Is that correct? That's what my paper says.
Yes, that's correct.
So tract number 6, it's not labeled number 6, but tract number 6 is the large... 204.68 acres.
That's known as the parent parcel.
Parent parcel
right here.
Has the lodge on it.
Yes.
What is the process to split that lot?
Normally, in the situation, we tell a person they have to come back before our board. She's been before our board.
Okay.
And there's not an issue with it being split up. You know, as far as
if she wanted to break that 11, what did she say? 11 acres.
13 acres.
13 acres off, and the remaining goes to track 7. Then.
But you can't subdivide that anymore, can she, Eddie? The 13
is that the
acres
problem?
once she did the minor sub, and then she broke it off, she couldn't take the 13 acres and subdivide it
that,
anymore.
The
could
person
she?
Who bought that 13 acres could come. They'd have to come before our board.
They'd have to come before that. Yeah. That's a different ownership.
Yeah, that's a different ownership. Yes, sir. Part of the issue here, gentlemen, and I've got this plat, and I really haven't got to study or anything like that. But if you look. And the one that I hand you, Mr. Strahan, right in the middle of the runway, there's a lot number 7.
That's just the grass runway parcel. That's not a
but,
building
but,
track.
But you, if you make that lot 7...
You can't make it lot 7.
Then you've landlocked all of these. You can't make it a lot. It's a road easement.
It's a road easement.
But it's got a lot number. I mean, we're constantly running into things like this all the time.
It has and a number identifying it because it's a separate parcel because it's the grass strip. It's not the road.
There's not electricity to, like, parcel parcel 1 and stuff like that, or parcel 9 and 10 that would be on this plat. And not only that, there's not an easement to provide access to put electricity in.
Yes, there is easement.
Not on this plat. There's an equestrian easement, but that doesn't say anything about utility easements.
There's an easement for the final plat. It's right on the plat.
I've got the final plat in front of me, but if you look at lot 9 and 10, there's no easement there.
She's asking for a final plat.
And she hasn't complied with. I mean, she's not putting any electricity in. There's no electricity.
There is electricity on all the south lots.
According to Water and Electric, and I spoke to them on Monday,
okay.
They have done no more work on that place other than run their main transmission lines, and they will not allow anyone to drop off of that main transmission line to supply electricity service to an individual lot.
Well, that's not what they told us because they came out, they assessed it because we have the cabin out there and we wanted to break the electric off of that. They said, put your electric box on the cabin and call us and we'll run it off the pole. The south lots, on one of your copies there on the last phase I submitted to Eddie, I removed the 10 lots off the north part because they didn't have physical electric on them. They only had easements. So I dropped them off the plat. Every other green lot on there, on the south side, has electric. The electric easements are on your plat. Because I'm looking at them. And the electric easements are on the north, showing how electric runs across the back of this.
Well, that's what she presented originally. The plat I've got before me now is just...
Okay. May I ask this?
Sure.
Am I being responsive to all right here? What is the final plat that you're asking for us? Show me the piece of paper that we're trying to, that you're asking us to approve.
The final plat that...
Is that what you're asking, is the final plat?
Well, if I can't, because it sounds like it's going to be a couple more week delay on that. So what I'm asking is, how can I be able to close my contract this Friday on my 13 acres? Because this is going to be a couple weeks. It's always a couple weeks before I get a letter, get it set up, and then a couple weeks to get a surveyor to change it. So now we're looking at another 4 weeks or so, at least.
You have a 206-acre lot or something like that, and you want to carve off 13 acres and sell just that 13 acres with the improvements. You're going to have an amended plat or minor subdivision, a replat that carves off that 13 acres, and it's going to have to be approved. Otherwise, you can't sell just 13 out of 206 acres.
I mean, you could always sell the property with a contract behind it for them to sell it back to you at the same price. I mean, you could always do some funny real estate.
I'm not going to give her legal advice.
No, real estate transaction advice. But from our perspective, this has to go through a split process. Correct?
She's been before our board, and I don't. As long as what she's presenting to us, I'm not saying she's going to have to go before our board again. Normally, yes, sir. Increasing density to that, but they understand. She presented the plat to them with some lot splits in it, and as long as it's pretty close to to that overall. Preliminary plat that she gave to us, we would feel comfortable signing that.
Where would this land go? If lot 6 goes to here, would that land go to be absorbed into this?
I don't know, but again, you got to have to be careful that
there are people that own lots in there in different places too, right?
And there are people that own property in here that you don't see yet, that stuff's going to have to be platted around and everything. That they transferred by.
They've sold without.
Right. I remember that.
So, but I mean, like I say, I haven't had time to say this. When a plat is turned into us, we have, according to state statute, I think 21, 23 days, because there's issues we have to look at and check and everything. And this plat gets more and more complicated every time we do something with it. Like I say, as I was talking with Mr. Dixon and Tim. We all three recollect that we were supposed to get one plat, a replat of the minor sub with the addition of some additional lots to correct this.
But that
issue
doesn't make any sense because
it makes perfect sense to the recorder and to the assessor's office.
If I could explain this, the minor sub has the 6 lots in it. We changed the road easement on the minor sub. We expanded it. Now you have in front of you a corrected minor sub showing the expanded road only on the minor sub, and the 2 legals that it changed, they're corrected, ready to be recorded as soon as you sign that. That we have to make that correction to the minor sub before I can incorporate the minor sub into the final plat.
Well,
there's
no
other way to do
that. The corrections on one plat, what they were saying.
That's not possible. I have to correct the minor sub, the easement change, before I can move that into the final plat.
How do you access... I can't tell much about some of this, but how do you access where you've got the figure 6 and up where you've got the lodge is where the 13 acres is? Where is the access road to 6 if you take the 13 acres out? Eddie, you see what I'm talking about?
No.
Are you taking the 13 acres off the cul-de-sac corner where the lodge is? Is that where the 13 acres is?
It's lot 8 on the new plat is the 13 acres.
I'm assuming she's going
here.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We have to make sure that this doesn't get landlocked.
So you're basically...
Well, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm supposing she could give it 70 feet somewhere up in here. I don't know. That's the only access.
I mean, you can't prove this plat because
where's the line for this lodge?
It's got too many things on here that don't add up.
That's lot 6. What are you trying to sell?
Lot 7.
But not all this property. So
yeah,
where's the...
Or lot...
So you can understand the confusion. I'm trying to understand the numbers here, and they're not making sense.
They're changing lot 6.
But not all of lot 6.
Yeah, because lot 6 now.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay. This is a lot that she's wanting to take and get the 13 acres off of. I'd like to help the lady if I could, but I can't see that you could possibly help her because there's no access to lot
6. Now is 13 acres.
The rest of it. Yeah. And there's no access that it shows anywhere.
But what the reporter is saying
show any easements for utilities or anything. That's another question.
It's already all recorded as a minor sub.
You see what I'm saying? These descriptions, he just got through telling me.
Right, the
minor surveyor has to change the legal descriptions of 2 and 3 because they're not what we sold to them. I don't think the commission has anything to do until we get something that is presentable to us.
What they told you was they thought you could do it all on, and this is the map that
we can understand.
And the guy says mapping, that you can install on one plat as a replat.
Well, if that's the case, then this is the replat because this is already in there. You're not making any sense to me, Eddie. This here, this drawing right here, this minor sub that we just redid as an amended plat, this exact thing is here. So it's already incorporated.
Then why would you include it in your final plat if it's already platted?
Because this is already recorded.
But it's already recorded, so you exclude it from the plat.
So I don't need this one, you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you sat in that meeting, they told you that this needed to come through as a replat of the minor sub, lots 2, 3, 6, with the addition of the other lots that you were going to put down below
then
that.
Then here it is then. There.
That's not what it says, ma'am.
So you're talking, you just want this to say.
That's not what I'm saying. No, you've got other issues. I haven't had time to look at it, but you've turned this into a lot. You can't turn this into a lot if it's a road easement.
Okay, that's just for reference. I can take that
number. No, ma'am, it's on the plat.
Okay. Just tell me and I can take it off. But it was on the last one and it wasn't an issue.
You know, I haven't had time to study, but that's what I'm trying to say. You run out and try to fix things. I see an easement that you platted here, which
this
makes...
has electric. All these lines.
It has an easement.
No, they have electric. I live here. Yeah. This electric line
according to
that.
There may be an electric line that runs through there, but electricity has not been provided to those individual lots.
Until they build, they said, put it on the house, call us, and we'll plug electricity.
Can we get it in writing from White River Electric that you can do that?
Well, I guess I'll have to. I mean, we're already hooked up. The people.
Yes,
that
that's been there a long time. And power, that's what I'm saying. Power was dropped to there. But power has not been dropped to these other places.
But it's on every lot. It's available.
Because it's a transmission line that runs through there doesn't mean it's available to that lot.
Okay, we had them come out to look at this cabin. They said, because there's a pole right here. They said, put your electric on the side of the cabin, call us, and we'll run it right up.
So
that's what we were told, that they could run it from the back.
Do you have that in writing?
No, they came to the property.
Okay.
They're waiting on us to call them, but we can't move forward without a plat.
We will need it. We'll need some stuff in writing. Is that correct, Eddie?
And I'm not sure that. One of the requirements was that we have a sign off from everybody. And last time we talked, we didn't have one of these.
Yeah, I've got them all. The only one I don't have is someone far up north that's not on the final plat. No, I've got them all.
You have them all but one.
That one is on the north section.
But it's still in this part of property that we're replating.
This owner right here on this 5-acre tract,
which is part of
lot 6. You're going to replat that plot, whatever, and you don't have the approval of everyone you've already sold lots to. I mean,
I do have everybody
except one,
because they're in a rack and I can't get a hold of them. We've overnighted them stuff, and if I have to, I guess I'll just have to cut them out, and they can sue the county for not allowing them in. I don't know. But I'll cut them right out of the plat.
It wouldn't be our deal. You're the one replatting. So,
you know, I know these people, but they're both in the military. They're in Iraq, Afghanistan.
Eddie, it sounds like you need review time.
I do, and gentlemen, I tell you what I'm saying. I'm not comfortable with, but I will remind you if you would choose to override this and everything, that's your option. That's part of my feelings. If you want to take it, sign it. Everything, but there is a long, long history with this, and my boards try to be very careful to make sure that every lot that is platted out here is a usable lot when it's platted, and that's why the minor sub came through like it did, and that's what we're trying to ensure. that when these people come in, nobody's applied for a building permit out there at all.
Because we're waiting on the final plat.
But when, you know, we want to make sure that what lots we do plat are usable by the person who buys it.
What about your question, Daddy?
Since
no easement, if
that's
split off?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't, maybe she could explain that, but if I was to try to be sympathetic with you and forget, I mean, I'm not, this is a platted subdivision, but if I was going to be sympathetic with you and try to get your 13 acres sold, how do you... explain no easement to where it says six.
There is an easement from the county road that goes back to lot six. It's a road easement. It's a recorded private road.
When you come out over here, because it's on our title. It wasn't came to there, but they put the lot in there, so you can't do that.
It goes from the county road clear back to our house on lot six.
And where's it at?
13 acres has the easement.
No, it's not.
I don't know.
Plan.
Is this the 13 acre lot? That may be the whole 13 acre lot. If so, it's got its access here. But I don't know if that's the 13 acre lot or not.
This is the 13 acre lot.
Okay.
This is the county road, and here's the private road recorded easement that comes back to our house. This is recorded as a private.
Yeah, that is a private road.
So this 13 acres.
So this wouldn't be split off any smaller. This would be the whole lot.
Oh. So what about the rest of the 200 or whatever it is? How do you get to it?
Those are on the final plat. You can still, this easement is for everybody. The access to the lots. Okay.
All of the 200 acres you can't access by this road.
So my only other option would be to, instead of submitting...
But you're not platting all those lots.
Right. My only other option is to... submit a final plat with only this lot, take off everything else that there's all these issues, questions, and delays on, and submit a final plat to Eddie with only lot six so that I can close my
house. Ms. Warnock, you need
to... And then continue to work on this.
You need to come into the mindset, if you're dealing with this minor stuff, it's got to be a replat. It's not a final plat, it's a replat. And anything that takes in that was part of that 100 acres or whatever that lot six was, that's got to be a replat.
Yeah, I have.
And,
no,
and that's from the recorder and everybody that we
talked. I have no problem calling it. I'll print it pink. I don't care. I just, anything that you want, I don't want spread out over another 6 months.
Can I ask?
Because we're going to go bankrupt if we don't.
I know, but can I ask you something simple? And sure. Is how you got 13 acres here. And you got it in a mini sub, right? Okay, what's one doing off over here, and two doing here, and six doing here?
Because these were sold, and I
every lot in the original minor sub has been sold.
I was trying to bring them in compliance, so that's why.
So you named them as you sold them? Is that what you're telling me?
She may have got the transaction ahead of the process, so she just. Fixing the plat, this minor sub.
I mean, it doesn't have to read 1, 2, 3, 4, but it would sure be a lot simpler for us to try to look at.
The problem is, she got ahead of the process a little bit. So I believe the whole thing is because of the way she, because of the process, this is a way to get everything in compliance.
Correct.
So that's why it's a little different than normal.
Real quick, yeah. Mr. Strahan, I'll try to summarize this for you. This project came through... You know, it eventually came to a place where 23 or 30 some odd properties have been sold on means and bounds description of warranty deed, flat being sold. It kept going on. We started getting some complaints, different things like that. It ended up in the hands of Jeff Merrill, who was looking at that. Ms. Warner hired a lawyer, and the Bob Paulson, Jeff Merrill, her lawyer, and I sat down. Well, what can we do here? Because on this whole big project, there was properties all over that had been sold, some of them under the minimum 2 acres with no road access, no sewer, no anything like that. Some of them larger tracts, but with no road accesses or anything being platted to those. So in order to try and reach a solution, it was agreed by the attorneys and everything that we probably should allow her to file a minor subplat, and then she brings the whole project back before our board. So we got into the process of doing that. She presented the minor subplat, and then the proceeds from that were supposed to be used to help, you know, to fund the project and bring it into compliance and everything like that. So the stipulation was on the minor sub that it needs to be put in, it needs to be done correctly, it needs to be finished before we move on to the next section. So she came in, she bonded the road, put in the first part of that road real quick, and then there was due to bad weather and stuff like that. It took a while to put the rest of the road in. So she gets the rest of the road in, but we gave her a partial reimbursement on her land bond, and then when she got the rest of it, we did that. In the meantime, originally there was going to be one runway, and then they decided to keep the grass runway that was already out there. But that was the road access to these properties to give them access. And we, of course, required that to be at minimum county standard at the time, which was gravel road. They didn't want to gravel the runway because if they're going to have planes landing on it, they want to gravel everywhere. So the decision was made to widen the easement there and put the road down one side of it, which leaves the, you know, enough room if they want to land, they can. Mm-hmm. And we don't really care how they use it. It's not our responsibility, but we want to make sure that we had our gravel road in, which is our minimum standard. When she widened the road easement, lots 2 and 3 then changed because they ate up the road frontage there. Mm-hmm. So, and it changed the legal descriptions, meaning they had to be replatted. In the meantime, you know, all this other stuff is going on, you know, about, you know, what our board decided, here's what needs to be done, here's how you need to go. You open up each phase, but each phase needs to be completed and ready to be used and built on before you can go to the next phase. So they stipulate some things like that. Well, by the time the minor sub was in, all the lots had been sold and everything like that. And then, so she brings us a final plat that has quite a few more lots on it at that particular time and everything. But as we begin to examine that and go over our decision of record, don't have the necessary infrastructure there as far as electrical and everything is concerned. Spent some time with White River Electric, asking them about what work had been done there and everything like that. Because the stipulation was the road needs to be in on this size lot. The roads need to be in. And there needs to be electrical power at the lots. What she's claiming is there's a transmission line that runs through there, so they have electrical power.
Access to.
But my board says is it needs to be at the lot.
The main thing is people aren't looking to build for 2 years.
And we keep getting into that, but if they come in and want to.
And if they wanted to, again, the electric company said if you have someone that wants to build, when we know they're building, call us. We'll run a pole. There is no problem. We want to do underground, but with the way the economy and the stop work order, we're just way behind. So we're still going to do underground, but if someone came in tomorrow and wanted to build, the electric company said, and they had their permit, if they had a plat, the electric company said, when you are ready for electric, call us. We have the easements. We don't want poles. But we'll run poles if someone wants to build. Right?
One thing that would help the county from liability is everything in writing, okay? Verbals are great. We experience this sometimes in the field, even road and bridge and all that, and we have to have everything in writing because if that person's not there anymore, we get ourselves into trouble. So first thing I would say is if they're willing to do that, we need that in writing. Okay. Not saying that's going to change the overall decision, but we need everything in writing. That's just from a liability perspective.
By the same token, though, I go back to lot 1, lot 9, lot 10 on this final plat, and you've got some easements in there, but you don't have any utility easements. So without a utility easement,
which one are you?
Lot 9. Lot 10?
The utility easements are in the road easement, and they're in this
road
easement.
But you haven't said that.
They're in the legal description. That's where they always put them. They run down every road we have in the
And I haven't read the legal description on this one, but the last time it was not in the legal description. But I'll read it again and see.
Because we're doing underground, and it'll come in along the road, every road out there.
But there has been no electricity run to those lots.
To those 5 and 7 acre lots?
Right.
They're 5 and 7.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to me. You don't have to have the road in, you have to have the road platted. Mm-hmm. But it states that the lots are gonna have to have electricity.
Okay. So then what I'm gonna have to
do. And that's in your decision of record that you signed, ma'am.
Is run all poles then basically.
I don't know how you're gonna handle that. And they may see that differently, but
you know, we can do that. I'll call and I'll order poles on everybody and just forego the underground electric.
Okay, so here's my question. Is there any way, because I have to get a bite to eat, get ready for my next 1 o'clock meeting. So let me ask you a quick question. I think there was two requests. The final plat approval, which I think we found enough problems that we can't do that. So the next question you had was, how can you complete this real estate transaction? Eddie, is there any scenarios or any list of things you could give her that would possibly could suffice this?
I don't have a problem with that 13-acre parcel. It's got its access and everything like that. But that is platted right now as Lot 6, and it goes all the way through there. So that would have to become
Lot 6A.
A replat of Lot, you know, 6A and
6B or whatever.
What about a bond on the rest of it for completion of the rest of it?
We can't do that.
You couldn't do it? Okay. I was thinking about your sale of your 13 acres, if that would give you funding for some bonds.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a working solution.
We're trying to look for an
avenue
for you.
You know, if we had a replat of Lot 6A, I don't think my board would have a problem. They know that some platting is going on.
So a 6A and 6B. You would replat and do a 6A, 6B.
Would I be overstepping from your – I hate to put you on the spot. But you're on both.
Can I ask a question if this would work? Eddie, if I came back with a final plat that only had the 13-acre tract on it with the road easement to the county?
That cannot be a final plat. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Ms. Warner, because that's already platted, so it has to be a replat, amended plat, or something like that. It cannot be a final plat.
Frank?
I can't speak for the board.
I know you can. That's a terrible question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, commissioners, if we did a 6A and 6B, would we be at least open? I mean, I'm not even sure I know all that I'm asking for, because I do not want to break any policies and ordinances we've got in place.
I'd like to try to figure out some way that she could get her property sold, but I cannot without some form, whether it be, and she says that bonding is out of the issue, so we have to subtract that off. There's no. Can she?
Can we phase this minor sub?
The minor sub already exists.
But can we phase it? Can we change it to say phase one is 6B?
But no, I mean, your replat would do that for you. I mean, you would replat Lot 6 into Lot 6A and 6B, or however.
Okay, let's say we did that. Then what?
Well, then the leftover piece, the big tract of land. Is not platted, therefore, you know, the electricity is not necessary at this particular juncture.
Correct.
She sells off the house. We don't approve the rest of this.
No.
I'm
just talking about six lots here.
I got a problem with the other part of it, where she's talking about the underground going in and the poles going down the road, because that's where they'd have to go because there's no electrical easement. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, you said that.
The house
you,
already has
I know, but you.
All the other lots.
All the other lots. You said that you were just going to go and talk to them about setting poles down. You have no electrical easement other than the road to set the poles.
No, we also added one to the back of the north lots. It's on your copy that I gave you up there. Shows
down the one side here, behind the minor sub, she has platted in an easement.
I don't know how we're going to do this, guys. I've got to disconnect here in about 2 minutes so that I can go on from a next meeting.
She did on her plat show. Let me show it right here.
We also added this electrical.
It's actually upstairs. I've got about three or four people waiting.
Now, that doesn't show on here. But see, what I saw was this easy.
For this?
See, I took all the other ones off. By the left one.
Yeah.
I showed that. You'd see the
my question really is,
of course, when you cut through the middle a lot,
Eddie,
you
spend some time getting the solution, and then come back to us.
So you sweat those lots.
I've got 2 appointments. I won't be freed up until 3:30. But if Eddie wants, we owe it to Eddie to at least review and come up with. Well, I'd hate to say this thing, and then he says, "Oh, wait a second, we forgot this thing because we haven't given enough time to review it."
Jim, you just got through saying though you needed White River Electric to give a written. We need some stuff in writing
for the final plat.
But anything that has to do with these lots.
Again, I'm gonna tell you that if you're redoing this, any part of this minor sub, which you will be, it's got to come through as a replat.
Okay, I'll name it replat, but it would just be the minor sub replat, correct, with 6A and 6B? Because the final plat, I have so many issues that it's going to be a little while.
Well, what you're telling me is a final plat. It's got to come through as a replat too, because it's incorporating mostly of that minor sub.
Yeah, that's, I can rename it. It's not an issue. All I need is to be able to close on our 13-acre property
and move on. I'll tell you my biggest hesitancy. I don't want to approve a final plat if we've got electrical issues, road issues, bonding issues, all the other issues on the big picture. I really want to stay focused to this minor. Is that... That's what we're talking about, right?
At this particular juncture, we're trying to find a way to split 13 acres off.
Can you review this, Eddie, and get us something back, some recommendations? Because what I don't want to say is get a letter from White River and do a 6A, 6B, and then all of a sudden Eddie says, wait a second, we found something else wrong, and then all of a sudden you're frustrated because
we... What
she should do is just the final, the minor subplat that's been filed. They just need to pull that up and then make the corrections to lot 6A, 6B, and you jump in here whenever you want, and everything else goes away.
I don't think he wants to jump in. That's why he's staying quiet as the attorney.
So, but, I mean, it wouldn't have all this other stuff on there. It would just be, it would show the existing original six lots. Now we have lot 6A and lot 6B.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Does the minor sub, the original minor sub, did it include the 206 acres or 200? I guess it did, the 204 acres.
I've got a difference.
So we got to find a home for that. That's going to be a 6C then.
No, that becomes 6B.
I'm sorry, 6B.
Hey, I've got a different idea on that.
Hey, I'm open.
Okay, if she's got 13 acres and the new buyer wants to subdivide that, then they could make it into a mini sub. The 6 acres?
No, sir. They'll have to come through the process because it's already platted subdivision.
Right.
Okay.
They can't subdivide within a subdivision.
And they're going to have some road issues if they try to do that, so they're going to have to put in some access.
What I'd like to do is, I mean, okay, so...
Because the project has been before our board, and they know that this property is going to be split up into different lots...
You don't have enough information to approve anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. I can't approve. So what's the new deadline here?
Well, Friday we lose our contract, so that totals up 700,000 we've lost this year because of a lack of a final plat. And they've had their money, 235,000, in escrow since January, when we thought that we'd have a final resolution.
Excuse me, Eddie. At 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, could you possibly come back with recommendations if there's a solution?
Sure.
Is that possible? I mean, we have
I can't draw the plat or anything like that.
No. Well, we have a commitment 11.
11.
Over on the east side. We need to allow at least 30 minutes to drive, at least, right? So that's 10:30. So if we started at 9, I mean, I have an appointment till 8:30, so I can't get here till 9. But my question is, are we putting too much hopes for Ms. Warner here?
Well, I don't think you're telling her that you're promising anything. You're just going to look at it again tomorrow at 9 and see if there's a solution.
See if Eddie's found a solution with the replat, because it sounds like we're going to replat number, this minor subdivision, into 6A, 6B, and make sure all the notations on the plat are correct.
Jim, so we don't... Because this is so complicated, why don't we, is there, with the new construction at the deal, could we post the location out there?
Oh, we could. I mean, we can post it anywhere you want.
What I'm saying is if we come here at 9 and we get tied up and we get into a situation, could we...
We could just table it and take it out there.
Take it out there.
I would just like to do it here, that way, and just start here and see if we can't get a solution. I mean, we want to work with you. But I hope you understand that we're not going to be commissioners forever here, and we don't want to leave a bigger mess.
I'm not asking for anything special. Really.
I know.
I just want to move forward, and I'm really having a hard time doing that.
The constraint is the time, obviously. You have a timeline.
On this, yes. And I can go up to the surveyors this afternoon and try to get this split off to show you 6A.
Has Eddie talked to the survey? Have you talked to the survey?
The survey has been in my office.
We came down for a meeting to get everything resolved.
Eddie, is that...
But things are constantly changing.
Okay, but could Eddie, could you and the surveyor work this out of what you're trying to do?
Work out what she's trying to do.
I'm sorry. Work out what she's trying to do, not you. Because sometimes as an owner, you may not... The communication between the surveyor or the engineering company, and Eddie talks to engineering companies pretty often, and that may be that third... That may complicate issues. I mean,
Well, that's why I brought him down to meet with Eddie.
Right.
We were down there in March.
So let me do this for the sake of my time here. I'm going to move that we table the air park discussion until 9 o'clock, the 27th, which is tomorrow, back in this room.
I'll second that. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And I'm hoping that you'll talk to the surveyor and have some sort of legal way to help. And if there is no way, then tell us no way. But try.
Before we recess, did you say we have a meeting at 11 tomorrow?
That's this. Oh, no.
Yeah, 11.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it on the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, go home. This calendar.
Yep.
9 o'clock.
Okay, very good.
All right.
We'll recess
until tomorrow
at 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.